If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Today, Conundrum Crew, we're beyond excited to welcome a very special guest, author, medium, and paranormal researcher, Rob Guttrow.
Rob has an incredible gift. He bridges the gap between this world and the next, bringing messages from pets, spirits, and loved ones who have crossed over. He's written several books, sharing his experiences and insights into the afterlife, and he helps bring comfort to so many people who are searching for answers.
From personal encounters with spirits, to science behind energy, to the heartwarming ways pets communicate after they pass, Rob's work sheds light on one of life's greatest mysteries, what happens after we leave this world.
So buckle up, Conundrum Crew, because today we're opening the door to the other side. Please welcome Rob Guttrow.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with your work, how did you get into the world of spiritual communication and mediumship?
Well, it started really early when I was a teenager, 13 years old. My grandfather, who died, appeared to me like 7 months after his death and scared the daylights out of me. Long story short, my mom had the ability. She was afraid to use it. My grandfather, who appeared to me, had the ability. I learned all these things, of course, after I told my parents what happened. And then I tucked it away. I went to college. I was pursuing a career and all that stuff. In 2005, I had a puppy that was tragically killed by a car. When I was walking him, his leash opened, and he blew the doors off my abilities again. He taught me how pets communicate from the afterlife. And I, in turn, have written books, one of them, my series of books, to teach people how their own pets are communicating from the afterlife. And then it went into back into people, paranormal investigations, and so forth.
Okay. And I remember hearing on one of the podcasts, you had said that your grandfather, when he appeared, he actually appeared in full color.
He did. He did. So that, yeah, that's...
Technicolor?
Well, yeah, I'm colorblind, but, you know, but it was in color, which is odd because I'm also in my day job. I was until I retired 10 months ago, unfortunately. I was a meteorologist. So as a scientist, I have to explain everything in terms of energy and how energy is the foundation of the paranormal. And so when they appear in full color, they're at like peak energy. Otherwise, they appear as shadow figures. And I explained all that stuff in my books. But so he was at peak energy, and it happened to be... As I look back, it happened to be around the time of his birthday. And that's another thing that my dog taught me. Buzz was his name that was killed by a car. That spirits who've crossed over will appear around birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays.
Okay. I think I've heard that before, too. Kind of like the memorable events type things.
Yes. And the reason for that is because in the physical, they're always with us during those times. And they want to let us know that they're still with us in spirit, celebrating.
So when Buzz was talking to you, did he sound a little bit like Scooby-Doo at all? I hope my dog comes back and sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Ruh-roh. Yeah, no, he was actually conveying. So when animals come to me, they will convey either words that they've heard and I can hear them as an English word, or they will convey pictures or smells or visions of things that they saw or what they liked and so forth. So that's how they come through to me.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I know
I'd love to talk to Scooby-Doo though.
Right. There was one podcast that I had listened to as well that the dog was, I can't remember if it was giving you images or words or whatever, but there was one of its owners was a teenager who listened to Taylor Swift.
Yes. Yeah.
And it kept saying Taylor, or somehow you kept getting the message, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift.
Swifty, Swift.
And then when you had spoke to the parents or gave them the information,
yeah,
they said that every day that she would go up to her room and listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Oh, you remember that story even in detail. Yeah. It totally blew me away that. You know, here I am doing a reading with a dog, and I'm like, why do I keep hearing Taylor Swift? So I wrote it down, and as it turned out, there was a personal connection. I just did a reading for someone else who lost a cat, and the cat shared with me something about Ed Sheeran, and I had to look him up because I've heard a couple of things by him. I'm old. the song Perfect was what he told me to share with his mom, and she wrote me back and she said, I live in the UK. I know who he is. I'm not a big fan of his, but when I looked at the video, one of the first things that stood out was a cat that was the same exact color of my cat.
Oh, wow.
And the lyric was that it was a perfect love. So
oh
yeah.
What can you not be a fan of Ed Sheeran, though? <That's just
weird. laughs> So what is one of the bigger things that a lot of people will get wrong or misunderstand with mediums or mediumship?
Oh, they think it's like having a phone conversation with their mother, you know, and it's not. Spirits can only communicate. It takes so much energy, really, because energy is the foundation. And in order to communicate with us, they need energy. And I always tell people that it requires either physical energies like heat, light, water, electricity, or emotional energies. And the emotional energies that spirits who've crossed over use is love, faith, and hope. That empowers them to communicate. Earthbound ghosts are a different story. Although they use the same physical energies, they use negative emotional energies like fear, anxiety, depression, and anger. Those fuel a ghost. So
I would fill a ghost tank right up.
You are a battery. Yeah. So when spirits rely on love and hope and so forth. And, we always have a love connection to those that we have in spirit. Unless you have a love-hate relationship with someone, you know, in spirit, that's trying to come back to you and ask for forgiveness. And I can't tell you how many times that happens. Not with pets, though. Not with pets, only with people. So I forget where we were going with that.
Just basically what's the one of the most misunderstood things with mediums.
Yeah. It's not a direct conversation. It's images and one-word answers and feelings.
Okay.
Emotional feelings.
So like with pets and like the earthbound ghosts and stuff like that. So I know you gave a reference to, what is her name? The Long Island medium, Teresa.
Teresa Caputo?
Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody had asked you, like, if you're walking through the store, are you having people, earthbound ghosts, people or pets trying to communicate with you when you're out in the everyday life? Or is it something that you need to try to channel and like meditate or something to have that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's only happened a couple of times that somebody has come through to me when I've had my guard down. But for the most part with pets, I really have to focus. And the way I do the readings is that I take a picture of the pet and their name and any questions the pet parent has. And then I have to connect with the picture. Okay. And connect to their energy. So I have to do that in the privacy of my own home, in my office with the lights all off and soft music playing and so forth. So, but somebody did come to me when I was on a cruise. It was this guy, and he was the uncle of a woman that was sitting like two tables away from us when we were at the cafeteria there or whatever. I won't forget it because it was the first time somebody came to me in public and said, you need to go talk to her. And I'm like, She's going to think I'm a weirdo.
On vacation, buddy.
So I'm sitting there having breakfast with my husband, and I said, I'm getting a message from this guy named John, and he wants me to talk to that woman two seats back. And he says, well, I'm going to get up and leave. You go talk to her. Well, I did. And it turned out that that John was her uncle that passed away, and he was a lawyer, and he, because he showed me Ivy growing up the side of a building to say Ivy League school and all this stuff. And so I'll never forget it. And she came back to me later. She found me on the cruise like 2 days later. And she said, I just want to thank you for the really moving message that you gave me. And I'm glad you weren't afraid to tell me. And I'm like, well,
kind of.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. That's that would be crazy. I know there's some people that say that they're more in tune. You're actually the first medium that we've ever had on. We have another one scheduled for Saturday, but I've listened to, well, I guess I can't say that because that the recording we just did,
Christina.
Yes, I forgot. She is we thought it was more ghostly, like more paranormal investigators, but she is actually the medium on their team. So I guess I misspoke to that, because that episode will come out before this one. But anyway, so I've, you know, seen a lot. We watch a lot of, you know, different videos, YouTube, regulars, you know, ghost adventures, ghost hunters, you know, all of those. And you see the mediums and stuff on there. And everybody has a little bit of a different experience, mm-hmm. and a different talent and a different way of channeling. And like there's that one that was on Portals to Hell, Michelle. She was with Jack Osborne's show. She always goes in blindfolded because she doesn't want to have any influence from anything. And then she just reads what she's seeing or feeling or whatnot. And it just, I'm always intrigued by it. It just blows me out of the water. And I'm actually shocked that we've waited this long to have mediums on.
So one thing, one rule that I have is that I don't want to know anything about the property at all.
Right.
When I belonged to Inspired Ghost Tracking in Maryland, I worked with them for many, many years, like 13 years. The manager would always tell us 1 hour before we were supposed to be at a location. She said, I calculated it'll take you 1 hour to get there, so here's the address. And I'm like, okay. And that's how we operated. And I like that. And now since I moved to Northern New England, I met this paranormal investigator who is amazing, and has a really unique angle on paranormal investigating. Her name is Monique Toussoun. She is the only paranormal drag queen.
Okay.
And
I love that.
She decided during COVID that she couldn't perform. So she decided to do her investigating for a change in drag. And it yielded amazing reactions by the ghosts. And she said that her very first EVP was at Wilson Castle, and the EVP came out and said, he's a lady.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
I love that.
So I've now done 4 investigations with her, and every one of them have been absolutely crazy. My latest book is called Haunting of Emery Estate, which was with her. Mm-hmm. My next book is, one of my next books, January, is called The Haunting of Hunt Memorial Library, which is the location where we had the book signing for the Emery Estate book. And we did a public investigation afterward with 20 people, a ticketed investigation. And there were 3 different ghosts there. And we had to cross, one over. But that comes out January 2026.
That's awesome. And in the Emery Estates one, I remember the excerpt that you sent to us, Monique was communicating with around an 8-year-old boy, mm-hmm. that you felt that she had really connected because she and her husband had a child around the same age.
They do, yes. And their child is, so they adopted a child who has some developmental disabilities, like learning disabilities. I really commend them for that. They're they're 2 amazing parents to do that. I mean, I have my hands full with dogs, okay? But yeah, so it seems that, and she has, especially when she's in drag, she has such an amazing caring quality that in several different locations that she's been, without me even, a lot of ghosts who are earthbound children will come to her to ask for help or comfort. Mm-hmm. And she's tried to do that. She's really good with children. And there's another team that she works with called the Power Clauses.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw that. She called them the Power Clauses. They're Derek and Candace Fetter. Candace is a medium. Derek is a tech guy.
Okay.
And they dress up like Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus sometimes whenever there are ghosts of children in certain locations.
Okay.
So that children will feel comfortable coming to them. So Monique calls them the Power Clauses, although, you know, that's not really their name.
Hopefully they live in a cold climate. Otherwise, that would be hot.
Yes.
They're in New Hampshire.
Oh, boy. So schedule your investigations during certain times of the year.
Yes, please.
Fall and winter.
So in all of your investigations that you've done, have you ever encountered a spirit that didn't want to communicate or gave you a hard time?
Yes and yes. one thing before we go forward, in my books, I decided that I was going to try and distinguish the earthbound ones from the ones that have crossed over.
And
because they're the same. I mean, they're the same entity. They're energy with memories, personality, and knowledge of the life we lived. But the ones that have crossed over are ones that I call spirit.
Okay.
Spirit is a much nicer, peaceful name. The ones that I call that are earthbound, I call ghosts.
Okay.
So I know that a lot of people use the words interchangeably, but to me, they're different entities because an earthbound ghost can only communicate in the place in which they chose to stay. They can't come into our dreams. They can't communicate with someone that lives miles away. Spirits, who have crossed over, they can appear to you anywhere, anytime, any place in the world. And I can give you an example of that too. But, so that's the difference between the two of them. But to answer your question, yes, what I found is that ghosts will choose who they want to talk to, and they can read our energy just like the both of you can read the energy of people in a big crowded room.
Okay.
You know, did you guys ever walk into a room and, you know, smile at somebody or say hi that you didn't know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and conversely, you're like, you look at somebody else and you're like, I'm not going there.
All the time.
So you're reading their energy. And I always tell people that's what mediums do. And that's what ghosts can do and spirits for living people. So, when we've gone on a couple of investigations, we went to the Lynnville Manor in Maryland, and that's actually my next book. So nobody knows that yet, but it's coming out October 1st. And here's a sneak peek of the cover.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. You're the first.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm the first.
So it's coming out October 1st. And so when we went to the Lynnville Manor, there was a little girl ghost that connected to Troy Klein, who was one of the mediums on Inspired Ghost Tracking, but she did not connect to me. So she was much more comfortable with his energy than she was with me. So they pick who they want to communicate with.
That's amazing. I love that.
So I will address the hostile ones. They've been few and far between, fortunately. But one of the most hostile ones was when I did an investigation in Maryland. It was Cocky's Tavern in Maryland, and I walked into this historic tavern, and I felt very uncomfortable, and I sensed there was an earthbound ghost. It was a man, and he was in one particular room, the room that used to be the big tavern area, if you will. And I didn't feel comfortable there, and he wouldn't talk to me. He just made me feel really awful. So after the investigation, I said, okay, I'm not going back in that room. I'm done. And the manager called me of the group, and she said, I have to play an EVP for you. I'm glad you didn't stay in that room.
Oh, no.
Because the EVP said clearly, kill Rob.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a friendly ghost there.
Yeah, what the heck?
So he was apparently, I think that he murdered other people and, you know, and he was just nasty. So there he can stay, you know, for all I care.
So do you think over time that spirit you said passes on. So let's say earthbound ghosts. Mm-hmm. Do you think over time that they start to lose memory, that they start to, you know, forget things and start to turn more onto the dark side? Or, I mean, I've heard people say that before, and then I've heard other people say that that's not true. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that they maintain their personalities, whatever they were. And for being an earthbound ghost or being a spirit, it is timeless because there's no concept of time in that energy form. Okay. However, earthbound ghosts can see the changes around them. So they can see, like when people go in and out of a particular house or whatever, or historic place, they can see that their wardrobe has changed. You know, nowadays you walk in and everybody is on a cell phone, and these ghosts from like the 1800s are going, what in the world is that? You know, right. Why are they talking into that black rectangle? So they don't know, but they know that things have changed. I think they get bored and they get frustrated. They get frustrated because after a while, after seeing all these physical changes, they realize they have been stuck there for many, many years. And that's when they want help crossing over.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does the process of crossing over consist of? Like, what do us as humans have to do to help somebody of the other realm pass over?
We have to generate enough energy, like living emotional energy. That's what we do. We combine our living emotional energies. And it takes more than one person to do it. So think of ghosts again as a battery. Their energy. When we first die, we are that the energy within us couples with that memory, personality, and knowledge. And then I look at a ghost as a battery. And over time, as you know, batteries charge dwindles. When it gets below a certain threshold, and I don't know what that is, they can't open a doorway to the other side and cross over and become a spirit. So what we need to do is we need to combine energies from living people, emotional energies, to focus on opening a doorway. And then what we do is we connect to the ghost energy and connect through the doorway to a spirit of a loved one that's crossed over, that's connected to them, and have that spirit come in to try and convince them to cross over.
Okay.
And then in all the crossings over that we've done, there's always been a burst of warm air out of nowhere.
Okay.
So, and warm air is fast moving molecules of air. Conversely, cold air, like columns of cold air, because I'm a scientist, I have to explain all this stuff.
Right.
So I always tell people that whenever there's a ghost and you feel a cold spot, it's because they're taking the energy of motion of air molecules. And they're absorbing that. And by slowing air molecules down, it creates a cold spot because slower moving molecules of air are colder air. So, but that's what we have to do to cross a ghost over. And the other aspect of that is that you have to sell them on it. You know? So just think about how paranormal investigators would go up to an earthbound ghost and say, look, you don't know me, but I'm going to tell you what's best for you.
How would you cross me over to the other side?
How would I cross you over to the other side?
Yeah.
First off, I'm going first, so I shouldn't have to worry about that. Okay.
I'm thinking all it would take is a pan of brownies.
I was just going to say, either brownies or donuts. There's unlimited brownies and donuts on the other side.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
Why would you stay here? Right.
We always fight about who's going to go first because...
Yeah, my husband and I do too. But he always says he's going to go first. And I said, no, mean people live longer.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding.
That's awesome. It's never an easy topic. I mean, being living, part of the living is not, you know, knowing that inevitability is coming and you don't know when it's coming or what, yeah, how it's going to happen or how you're going to react. And it's hard. And then knowing that, you know, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there, you know, what's the, you know, the purgatory? What's the whole process? And there's so many different speculations on it and different beliefs. And so it's, you know, nobody truly knows really what's out there.
No, that's true. I mean, I only know what spirits tell me.
And, right.
You know, most of them have told me that hell is really being trapped as an earthbound ghost. That's okay. Really what it is. Because if you think about it, nobody can hear you unless you're lucky enough that a medium comes in and out of the place. And how often does a medium go into a room, you know, where a ghost right. is? So that ghost doesn't have a chance to tell their story, to ask for help and so forth. And it's like being trapped in an isolation ward for your entire eternity.
That's would be hell.
That's hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they also tell me that they've told me that there are like three levels on the other side. You either cross over or you stay earthbound. Those are your alternatives. And you pick where you want to go on the other side, level one, two, or three. Some cultures say, like in Japan, I think they say there's seven levels of the afterlife. I don't know. Everybody has different ideas.
Right.
But my aunt came to me and she was trapped on level one after she passed. She passed in the early 80s. And she came to me. She appeared to me as a shadow figure. And she scared the, you know, bejesus out of me. And I'm like, and this was, I moved to Kentucky. I went back to school to get my third degree, my degree in meteorology. And my aunt is at the end of my bed. And I'm like, hello. So she came to me and she said, I need forgiveness from your mom. And I wrote about this in my first book, Ghosts and Spirits. So my mom and my aunt had a love-hate relationship. And my aunt had chosen the lower level of the other side. And she wanted to move up. And she wanted forgiveness from my mom. Because she used to, apparently she would steal my mother's clothes and she would do other things. And, you know.
What sibling doesn't do that? Yeah.
I don't know. But my, you know, they were from an Italian family. And, you know, when you apparently, I could say that I'm half Italian. So I asked my mother, I kept trying to get my mother to forgive her. It took 25 years for my mother to finally forgive her. 25 years after she passed, after my aunt passed. And I said, Mom, look, I know you're Italian. I know Italians invented the word vendetta, but you got to let it go. So finally, after my aunt kept coming to me, she said, okay, I realize I have to forgive her. And then my aunt sent me a sign, a musical sign. She made one of my CDs skip. And it happened to be playing a song that the only song that always reminded me of her.
Oh, wow.
It was a Barbara Mandrell song. I was listening to it. And I said, look, before it even came on, I said, look, if you're okay now, if you've been forgiven and you know, you're okay and you're back up to the next level, please let me know. And that CD skipped.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, do it again. She did it again.
Oh, wow.
And the next time I played that CD, never skipped again.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So. It's crazy how those, even just not even, I mean, it might be people communicating with you and it might not, but just the memories of things like that, a TV show or music or a certain animal or a certain sound triggers those memories. And, you know, you'd like to think that your loved one is communicating with you. And
we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, Conundrum Crew. Have you ever listened to an episode and thought, wow, I wish I could wear this level of chaos?
Well, now you can. That's right. Total Conundrum officially has merch.
Hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, stickers, everything you need to rep your favorite mystery-loving, banter-filled podcast in style.
And the best part? Our signature cute pink brain is front and center, scratching its head just like the rest of us, trying to figure out life's weirdest mysteries.
Honestly, it's the perfect representation of our show. Smart, a little confused, and totally adorable.
Just like me! Yeah!
Sure, Jeremy. Let's go with that.
Anyways, if you want to grab your official Total Conundrum merch, head to bonfire.com/store/total-conundrum and get yourself something spooky, stylish, and absolutely conundrum worthy.
Because nothing solves a mystery quite like retail therapy.
Available now while supplies last. And back to the show.
But it
don't ruin the CD, man.
The old, no.
Yeah, put scratches in it.
Well, you'll think about them every time you play it. Yeah. And then there goes that whole forgiveness thing again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it played fine the next time.
Well, that's good. Great.
Yeah. So I knew it was not a scratch.
So, well, I know you talked about how certain like animals or spirit can come to you in dreams and when you're sleeping and stuff. When my mom passed when I was 14 years old.
She was
32 years old. And
sorry, that's young.
Very young, yeah. Very young. And she unfortunately had leukemia and it wasn't very known back then. And she was one of those that actually all of her siblings matched 20 tests down for bone marrow. There was not a sibling that had a better match than the other. So she had three siblings that could have given her a bone marrow transplant, but they couldn't get her into remission. So she only, I think she only, after she was diagnosed in May and she passed New Year's Eve that same year. It went very fast because she was misdiagnosed for so long too, because it wasn't a known thing.
Yeah.
But as a teenager, I think I was like 16 or 17. I had a dream one night that she was coming to visit. And in my dream, I was furious at her. I was furious because she left us for another man and she was still there and didn't tell us. And after analyzing the dream, I kind of thought that maybe leaving for another man was maybe going to God, and that she was still there, but it was more in spirit than it was in reality. So that was how I kind of analyzed my own dream. But that dream has stuck with me all these years.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was truly her, if it was just myself trying to come to terms with it. So dreams can be a powerful thing.
Yeah. And it's actually the easiest way for a spirit to actually communicate with us, because our logical minds are asleep, if you will.
Right.
And when we're awake, we're trying to think logically as adults, most of us, at least. So we try to dispel whatever we think are our coincidence. But I've learned that there's no such thing as a coincidence when it comes to spirit.
Okay.
So for instance, they will, if someone you know has passed away, whether a person or a pet, and you are out somewhere, and you happen to see someone that looks like them, whether a person or a pet, it's not a coincidence. What it means is that spirit led you to be at that particular place at that particular time, looking in that direction so that you would see someone that resembles them to know that they are around you.
Wow.
Has that ever happened to either one of you?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it has, because there's been times where I've, you know, you think, yeah, for sure. Because, yeah, you think that you see somebody and you're like, whoa, was that, you know, or is it their doppelganger, you know? How about you, Jeremy? Have you ever experienced
that? Yeah, I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
Person or pet?
Person. It's usually my grandpa.
Were you close to your grandpa?
Yeah, very close. Very.
That makes perfect sense. So, and it can be anywhere in the world. When I'll give you an example with a pet. When my dog Buzz passed in 2005, we went on vacation. We went to Puerto Rico for the very first time. And I like telling this story because there's so many components in this that led me to the right place. We walked around Old San Juan. Have you, either of you been there?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful place. They have a rotary. There's a rotary in, near the Old San Juan and near a fort. And you can choose to go one of five ways. And we got there and I felt nudged to go down one direction. When we got to the end of the street, there was a dog walker who was walking several dogs. And one of them looked exactly like Buzz that had passed away. And I heard, "Dad, it's me."
Oh, wow.
And he said, "It's today." And I thought, "What's today?" So I looked at Tom and I said, "What is today?" And he said, "It's February 22nd. Well, that was the 4 years after Buzz passed to the day.
Oh, wow.
So Buzz led me to another dog that looked exactly like him on the anniversary of his passing.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking about the whole people thinking that they see somebody or whatever. I have, it's a good way to put it. I think I would make that more interesting for people because I am literally like my mom's twin. Mm. So when I went to Mora, where she grew up and where she passed, people would take double takes all the time as I was growing up. Oh, and wow. When my uncle passed away during COVID, we were going through pictures and my uncle's brother picked up this picture and he was like, "Oh, look, Tracy, here's you and Danny." And Danny was my uncle that passed. I said, "That's not me." And he's like, "Yeah, it is." And I'm like, "No, that's your sister. That was my mom."
Wow.
And he's like, "Oh, stop it. That's you." I mean, we literally look that much alike that I even posted the picture on Facebook and was like, "All right, who is this? Is this me or Julie?" And it was about a 50-50. Yeah. But I looked at the year on the picture and I was like, "Bobby, there's no way that could have been me because the time frame of the picture, I would have been like 12 years old."
Wow.
You know, so, so I'm that spiritual bond for people.
That doppelganger.
Yes.
Yeah. So if one of your mom's friends is thinking of her at some point and you happen to be in that same area and they see you, you will have been steered to that area at that time because somebody was thinking of her.
And they wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
little puppet masters.
Yeah, they can manipulate a whole bunch of things.
But yeah, that's a really cool concept. And there is times that I have seen people or things, you know, that just, you just kind of get that warm feeling. And it's kind of like, you just look up and you're like, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. "Miss you, love you."
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and they can send signs in various ways too. I mean, the other thing you mentioned, puppet masters, but they can also influence things in nature. And that's one of the things they do all the time. They, like birds and butterflies, dragonflies, rabbits, squirrels, groundhogs, all kinds of things. And I have countless examples of all that stuff. So there have been a number of stories where people have gone to cemeteries, and cemeteries, in my experience, are not haunted. Because we haunt places that we know in life, and you know who hangs out in the cemetery during their life, right?
Right.
although I will say it's a nice, quiet place to go for lunch. And we've done that.
Yeah, we've hung out in them.
Yeah, so it's a nice place to go for lunch, and it's interesting because you get to see the history of people. Sure. But sometimes when we go to cemeteries and we are paying respects to the people that pass who are in spirit, they may send us a sign. Like I remember reading one woman who went to her son's gravesite. He died in one of the wars, I think the Iraq war. And suddenly there was a swarm of dragonflies around the headstone. Okay. And dragonflies were one of his favorite things.
Aww.
And it was only around his headstone, nobody else's. And when she started to walk away, they left.
Oh, wow.
So she knew it was him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is really cool. Very, I know some people say like cardinals are, you know, mm-hmm. cardinals or blue jays or, you know,
robins.
Pretty much anything. Yeah. Robins. Yeah. all depending on what the person liked or whatnot. And
so if it's somebody's mother-in-law, they'll send a vulture, right? No, I'm kidding.
My mother-in-law is amazing. I won the mother-in-law lottery.
Well, I could see that about my mom.
What? I'm telling her you said
she gets kind of crabby, you know.
Oh, so do you. Well,
are you going to edit that out of the episode?
Nah. Definitely. I don't think he listens anyway.
Oh, gosh.
No, that's funny. So have you ever doubted your abilities or gone through a period of like, I don't want to do this anymore, or I just want to disconnect from this sense? Because I know when you were younger, you kind of pushed it back. But as you've grown into your abilities, has there ever been a time where you're just like, I'm done with this?
Oh, yeah, often. So there's two aspects of what I do. So one aspect is going into haunted places and helping try to bring peace to the dead who are stuck and cross them over. And I never get tired of helping them. The other aspect is doing pet readings. I do those on the weekend, and I do a limited number every week, but they take a lot of time and they take a lot of emotional energy. And a lot of times people don't realize that when mediums are doing readings, it takes our physical energy, our emotional energy, our mental energy, and it's exhausting. A lot of people, everybody wants a personal reading. Everybody. And everybody wants a reading when their pet passes. And I get that. I get that. And I try. But sometimes I get to the point where, oh my gosh, I'm wiped out. I need a break from this. But I can't. I have readings scheduled out for a year.
Wow.
And they're every week. And, you know, I can't take that break, unfortunately. Even if I'm trying to work on a book, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have a pet reading I have to do. So it's very rare for me to sit and relax at night because I'm always doing.
Sounds like podcasting.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. So sometimes I really wish I could just take a break from it. And I've put readings on hold for a while, like taking appointments, but that's because they've booked out a year. I'm like, okay, but that doesn't give me a break.
Right. I couldn't imagine. I mean, living everyday life and dealing with every day's mundane tasks is hard enough, but then having to have that other side of things. And I know, like when I was younger, I had dreams a few times of things that actually came true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that might be part of the reason why I am so kind of like worried about going into places or, you know, crossing into doing like investigating and stuff like that, because I do believe that I have more of a sensitivity. I'm not saying I'm a medium or psychic or anything like that, but I grew up in a home that was very active. And then as a, you know, but pre-pubescent, you know, middle schooler having dreams of things. And even in high school, I had a dream that came true. And they were dreams about other people and, you know, things that had happened. One was somebody getting into a car accident and being very badly injured. And I knew it was going to happen 2 days before it happened. So when my mom woke me up and told me, I had already known that, you know, what was going to go on that day, that I had to get up, I had to take care of this person's children while my mom went to the hospital. And another one was, you know, later when I was a teen. So I think that I have that little bit of sensitiveness. So I think that's why I'm afraid. And I've had a ghost follow me home once.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It was a child. Doesn't happen very often, but.
It was a child, but, and I was able to get her to go back where she was, but I was scared shitless. I didn't sleep for like 3 days.
Sure. Well, she probably attached herself to you thinking that you could help her cross over.
Maybe, but yeah, I didn't.
Or find her parent.
I was afraid.
Yeah. No, I would. Me too. Wow.
So yeah, I can't imagine having that ability on at all times, knowing the emotional turmoil. Like anytime I do have a dream about somebody, like I had a dream that our dog Harley, I took melatonin one night and I had a dream that I watched our dog Harley get hit by a car outside of our house. And this was probably a couple of years ago. And ever since then, I have been terrified that that dream would come true. Mm-hmm. And I have not touched melatonin since.
Good idea. Wow, that's scary.
That is scary.
Yeah. But you are sensitive to the energies of the other side. So, you know, you do have medium abilities. You can call them medium rare if you want.
Yeah, medium light.
I used to call myself a medium rare before I started like really believing what I was doing. but yeah, it is scary. Some of the things that happen to me too, that whenever I do readings, is they will share the pain of death with me.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that's
what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
So I felt heart attacks. I felt cancer. I felt kicked, punched, stabbed, shot. With pets, I feel kidney failure and heart failure, and I feel lung problems and breathing problems and back legs. My spine will hurt. My legs will feel numb, like if they're paralyzed or something like that. I went to the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona, and I have a book about that one too. I met 11 ghosts there, and one shot me in the chest. Another one shot me in the throat. I was shot in the throat because that's how he died. And he shared that. So I felt all of these crazy things. And it knocks the wind out of me. Actually, literally knocks the wind out of me. And then I have to recover. It takes a couple minutes. The Birdcage Theater was a crazy experience. And by the way, one thing I didn't mention is that whenever I go on these investigations, I will sometimes sketch what the ghosts look like.
I saw that in that excerpt that you sent. That's very cool.
Yeah. So, and usually whenever I go on these investigations, the homeowner has said that that's who they've seen in their house. So,
wow.
Proven it. In one of them, there was the ghost, it was called the Steelworker's Ghost chapter in my case files of Inspired Ghost Tracking. I sketched this guy. He was balding. He was kind of heavy in the face. And after I sketched him and I showed the picture, the homeowner said, yeah, that's the guy we've seen. The tech team who came in the day before sent me the infrared camera image later for the report, and it looked exactly like the picture that I had drawn.
Wow.
And that's in the book, and that freaked me out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and you're a very talented artist as well. The picture that I saw was the little boy and too soon. What was her
first name? The man in the gray suit?
No, the little boy in the Everly Mansion?
Emery Estate, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so the other ghost we ran into was the man, I call him the man in the gray suit.
Okay.
And I sketched him out too.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the investigation with Monique too soon. But yeah. So, and I have to tell you that the reason I started sketching them, when I was a kid, I always wanted to grow up and be a superhero. I did. So I started working out when I was 17 and,
oh, wow.
And I never stopped, but, I always started to draw. I started to draw my own comic book characters and make my own comic books. And that's how I learned to draw. My mother was teaching me how to draw too. And that has come in handy now in paranormal investigations.
For sure. Right. Yeah. I wish I had a fraction of that kind of talent. I could not. Yeah. I've never been very
good. Stick figure.
Yeah. My stick figures sometimes look sick too. So. I used to try to draw. But I just, you know, being a lefty, you think I would have, I have other creative abilities. I haven't been able to hone in, especially people. People are really hard for me. Like getting I'll try to draw somebody and they'll end up looking like, what's the guy from Goonies, Sloth?
Here you go.
Oh,
I love Sloth.
Here's a portrait of you for your birthday. Oh, is that Quasimodo?
Hey, for my heart. Not my fault. I can't get your eyes straight.
All we can do is try.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, exactly.
So what has been the most rewarding moment of your journey so far?
Bringing a lot of healing to people who lost pets, people whose pets passed away. One of the things that I do too is that I came up with this idea like 7 years ago, is to go to animal rescues and do a lecture. I do a 45-minute to 1 hour interactive lecture about how pets communicate from the other side. And sometimes when I will bring up a sign, I will ask people in the room if they've ever experienced that, and they will raise their hands, and then I will have them tell their stories. And it is so emotional. It is so healing. And other people in the room, of course, can connect with that. They can identify with that same sign or something. So every time I do this, it's really healing. And it's super emotional for me now because I have 5 dogs in spirit. We just lost one 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was a dachshund, and we lost him to an aggressive cancer that took him 4 days after his diagnosis.
Oh my.
Yeah. And he was my boy. He was my boy. My heart is empty right now.
Sure.
But we have 2 others that I love so much. So I'm healing right now. And I'm still trying. And actually, since he passed, he's actually come through to me to help me do readings for other people in the interim. Because I have all these readings that I have to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I can get through this. And then Tyler will show up. My dog Tyler will show up. And he'll say, I'll help you, Dad.
I got you, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh. So do you think mediumship can be learned, or is it something you're born with?
I think it's both.
Okay.
So I do know that it's genetic. It's in one side of the family or the other or both. I know my mom had it, my grandfather, her father had it. One of his cousins or my mother's cousins had it. And so it ran in my mother's side of the family. But we can learn. We really just have to be open-minded. It's really about learning the way that spirits communicate. And so that's why I wrote my books. So I wrote my books to teach people how spirits of loved ones communicate, whether they're human or animal.
Okay.
Just trust your feelings. That. Trust your feelings, Luke. That's what I always say from Star Wars.
You know? Nick, I am not your father. Got that whole Mandela thing going.
The whole Mandela thing drives me crazy. What's your thought on that? Do you think that the world was rebooted? Or do you think it's just people misremembering?
No, misremembering what?
The Mandela effect.
I haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you.
No?
No.
Oh, that's a good topic.
Head to head on that one.
No, I haven't given it any thought at all. I'm too caught up in all this other...
Yes. You got a lot going on.
Craziness. So...
Why don't you let's talk about your books and stuff and some things that you might have coming up in the future.
Sure.
Let's do a little recap on that.
Okay. So I now have 4 series of books.
Wow.
I just decided to break one series apart into a different series. So I have the Pets in the Afterlife series, which teach people how their pets communicate from the other side. And they're filled with stories like of how pets have communicated and readings that I've done that have been approved and confirmed by their pet parents to let me share them. And each chapter has a picture of the pet, so you know who I'm talking to. So there's that. There's 4 of those. And then there's a ghost versus spirit series, the Earthbounds versus the ones that have crossed over.
Okay.
Then there's a Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation series. Because when I go on vacation and my guard is down, I want to enjoy the vacation. dead people say, no, 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 no. You need to tell my story.
Oh, wow.
So there are three in that series right now. England, Ireland, and the Birdcage Theater.
Oh, wow.
And I have, I'm working on a Scotland one and other places in the U.S. Those are two more in that series coming. And then my fourth series that I just launched is the one with Monique called The Haunting Of series. It's about different places we have investigated. The Emery Estate, the Hunt Memorial Library in New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire. We just went to Wilson Castle in Vermont. That was insane. And then we did another investigation on a farm. And that was also crazy.
Wow.
So that series is going to have at least four, I'm sure a lot more. Actually, there is an event coming up in April where Monique has asked me to be part of her team in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We're going to do an investigation in a haunted lighthouse.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. People can watch my website or MoniqueTooSoon.com because she's the one that's organizing it.
Okay.
And it's going to be ticketed to the public. So the public can, there's going to be a limited number of people from the public that can go on it. So there's that. I've got a lot of lectures coming up for animal rescues, one in Massachusetts, one in New Hampshire. I've got library lectures. I teach adult ed courses in paranormal stuff in two schools in Southern Maine.
I thought you said you were retired.
Well, that's why I retired.
So do you do any paracons or anything like that?
I do paracons too. I did the Connecticut Paracon recently. I did the Pennhurst Paracon in May. I'm doing the Paracon in Salem, Massachusetts in November. Yeah, I'm tired.
Sure, I'm tired just listening to, I mean, I thought we had a lot going on, but wow.
Yeah, but I love it. I mean, I do what I do to help people understand how, you know, the afterlife works as far as I can see. And by the way, I always tell people that because I'm a meteorologist and I base everything in the science of energy, if people are of any religion, they can apply their religion to the science of energy, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're not, they don't need to. But, you know, some people have said to me, well, you know, my God looks down on mediums. And I'm like, well, then don't get a reading. Right. I mean, if you're struggling with your religion, but you want to get a sign from somebody, you have to decide whether or not what's the most important thing in your life. Is it your relationship with your loved one that you want messages from, or is it your religion?
Right.
Because one way or the other, you're going to either take out anger against yourself or the medium or something else. And that's not healthy. Just know that mediums, genuine mediums, are here to help bring comfort to people who passed.
Right.
And that's what I
do. I understand that religion battle. I grew up in between a very Catholic family, mm-hmm. and the other half of my family was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, good gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So I understand that.
They had a lot of religion.
That's a battle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's what I'd say when they come to our door. Oh, my gosh. No.
No.
Yeah.
I still battle with some of that because I have two aunts that still practice, and the rest, most of their children have converted back to just not being Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. But then I had one of my cousins that's about my age decided to go back into the religion and started blowing up. He hadn't talked to me in years, and now he's blowing up my phone, sending me all these passages and stuff. And I'm like, I love you. And if you want to talk to me, I'm here. Mm-hmm. But I don't need these links and these websites and all of this, you know, just talk to me as a person. I don't need to talk religion just to talk, you know?
True. You can always tell them that you will be happy to direct an earthbound ghost to their house so that they can be alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a story later.
So, well, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to cover?
Oh, my goodness. I could talk to you guys for hours, but just know that our loved ones in spirit are always going to be guiding us and giving us signs. And we may not see them. Don't be upset if you don't see signs from your loved ones. It's not that they're not trying. It's just that you're not seeing them. And the other thing is that when it comes your time, make sure that you cross into the light. Do not choose to be an earthbound ghost because it's a really, really bad idea. And the easiest way, if you've lost a pet or a parent or anybody, the easiest way for them to communicate is to ask them to come into your dreams. And don't be upset if they can't, because grief is a negative emotional energy. Spirits are positive emotional energy. If your grief is intense, it's much stronger in energy than they can generate from the other side. So they can't come through your dreams until you cope with their passing.
So, very good advice.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to get a reading from you or get in touch with you, how can they find you?
I'm online. I have a website. I have social media like an epidemic, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Threads.
There's so many.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. RobGutter.com, or if you can't spell my last name, petspirits.com goes to the same place. Okay. So, and there's information there about readings and lots of videos and this interview and everything will be there.
And we'll put links to everything in our show notes as well, so you guys can find them. Well, Rob, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Jeremy, did you have anything else you wanted to ask before we...
I think I'm good. I just need to go buy some books now.
Yes, definitely. I'm excited to get into reading. Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you. And for those who like murders and other kinds of mysteries too, because I know
I'm the one that does all the true crime stories on there.
Well, that's why I mentioned this. So the Case Files of Inspired Ghost Tracking has the double murder ghost investigation in it. And that was a tragic story that ties both the paranormal and the murder mystery stuff together.
That's perfect for our listeners.
Awesome.
I love it. Well, thanks again for joining us. And this has been so informative and so fun.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
All right, Rob. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.